following message is from New Life Gillette series At the Movies. This week, Pastor Mike presents part 5 of this series.
Good morning. So, those of you who are praying with us for the team in Honduras, we've got a missions team down right now in Honduras building latrines for families and doing some other VBS style things. And so if you've been praying for them, you can join our New Life Gillette Facebook group and kind of keep updated on how their trip is going. And it's going really well. This is the last week of At the Movies. So go ahead and pop open those pop cans, get out that popcorn, and get ready to watch Captain Marvel. This is a great movie. I don't know if you've seen it yet. If you haven't seen it, we're going to ruin it for you. But this has been an awesome series. We are just praising God for what he's doing in our church right now. Last Sunday, we had more people on a Sunday morning that is not a holiday than any other Sunday we've ever had before here at New Life. Like, just God is doing awesome. I went to pick up Lincoln in his nursery, and there were 26 kids in Lincoln's nursery. I would say let's celebrate. However, I was a little concerned. It was a madhouse in there. That's a lot of kids. I remember early on when I was here at New Life and I had first come on staff, we broke 100 kids in Kid Zone, and we were celebrating. We all went out to lunch that day to celebrate because we had more than 100 kids in Kid Zone. Last Sunday in Kid Zone, we had 276 kids. That's a lot of kids. So that's an area of people that we have prioritized reaching, and it's working. And look at this one. This is Labor Day weekend. You're all supposed to be on vacation, but look around. This place is full. God's doing good stuff here, and we're celebrating it. And a big part of that is because of At the Movies. Let me tell you, today we're going to watch a Marvel movie. And one thing I was watching or noticing when I watched this movie for the first time, actually I notice this every time I'm watching a movie, but first of all, I'm usually getting yelled at because I'm in the movie theater watching a movie and I'm like writing the sermon as I'm going because I've got an idea, and so I'm writing on my notes, my sermon, and on my phone, and then I get yelled at by the manager for texting in church or in the movie or whatever. But this movie, as I was watching it, I had this realization. This storyline just happens over and over and over again. Like, every movie is just kind of a retelling of another story. There's no new story in the world, and so we're kind of drawn to it when somebody puts a new twist on the same story. And so I think this movie is actually just a retelling of the story of Moses. Most of the great stories, you can just read them in Scripture and then watch them replay over and over again in the new movies that come out. But if you watch Captain Marvel, it's just like the story of Moses in outer space. Like, it's just a different way of telling it. And so if you've seen it, you know that Captain Marvel is the story of somebody who was walking one way, who was living as part of one people, whose goal was to become the king of Egypt. And then something happened in his life, and he realized, actually, the society that's telling me how I should live and who I should be and who I'm supposed to be, they're all wrong. These aren't my people at all. This isn't what I'm called to. I'm actually called to a much harder life, a much different life, a very unique life. And so I'm going to leave what is comfortable to me, and I'm going to go live a harder life because I know it's what's right. This is what Moses did. This is what Captain Marvel did. And this is what we are all called to do. You've got a world around you who's telling you, here's how you should live. Here are the things that you should want. Here are the comforts that you should seek. Here's how much money you should try to make. If you could hear anything from the team down in Honduras right now, they would tell you, don't follow the lie. That's not going to fulfill you. That's not going to get you anywhere in life. The things that the world are telling you are worth sacrificing for are not worth sacrificing for. Because down there, they're encountering people who live in huts with no electricity, no running water, and they are seeking God wholeheartedly. Like, they're as happy as anybody you've ever met. So those things aren't going to make us happy. Those things aren't going to fulfill us. The only thing that actually is going to fulfill you in your life is figuring out who the creator of the universe created you to be and stepping into that calling. Because the world around you wants to tell you, you're just random chance. You're just a collection of cells that somehow, however many years ago, something appeared out of nowhere, which I know that's physically impossible, but they want you to believe it. Something appeared out of nowhere and then evolved, and eventually you became you. I tried for a long time to say that I believed that. It just makes no sense to me. Like, I'm not a dumb person, but that just makes no sense to me, that something can appear out of nowhere, or that anything can be created without a creator. That makes no sense to me. And so what that line of reasoning has led me to believe is that if we are created, the creator created us for a purpose. So our life is figuring out, what is that purpose? What am I called to? Well, that's the journey that Captain Marvel was walking. What is my purpose? What was I called to? So watch as she discovers it.
You know what time it is?
Can't sleep.
There are tabs for that.
Yeah, but then I'd be sleeping.
Dreams again.
Wanna fight? I slipped.
Right, you slipped as a result of me punching you in the face.
I was already slipping when you happened to punch me in the face. The two events are not related.
Tell me about this dream.
Anything new?
No.
You have to let go of the past.
I don't remember my past.
It's causing you doubt, and doubt makes you vulnerable. Control it. Lose control again, and you'll have to commune with the Supreme Intelligence. There's nothing more dangerous to a warrior than emotion. Humor is a distraction. My anger? Anger only serves the enemy.
Today's movie is Captain Marvel. I really like this movie because the moral of the story is all about a battle between the head and the heart. This movie doesn't point it out, but that is actually a very spiritual battle. We're all tempted to allow our emotions to make us do things that we know we shouldn't do. So what's the area of your life in which you have the hardest time controlling your emotions? Do you get angry when your kids don't pick up their toys, when your team loses a game? Are you tempted to lust after people? Do you feel jealous when you see people who have things that you want? Does your desire for comfort keep you from doing hard things, or do you struggle with depression or anxiety? These are all emotional battles. But it will take more than emotion to win them. These examples are examples of times when our emotions cause us to do negative things, but there are also times that our emotions help us to do good things. For example, if you're a Christian, I bet your emotions played a role in leading you to give your life to God. If you're married, your emotions attracted you to the person that you now love sacrificially. If you're trying to lose weight, when you fail to control your appetite, I bet you get mad at yourself. And that anger may stop you from doing it again. Those are all examples of good emotions. In Captain Marvel, Yon, the Kree leader, tried to convince Captain Marvel, the girl in the last scene, that all emotions are bad. But not all emotions are bad.
120 days since the last Skrull attack.
Has anyone ever seen what the Supreme Intelligence really looks like?
No one can look upon the Supreme Intelligence in its true form. You know that. Our subconscious chooses the way they appear to us, so it's sacred. It's personal. No Kree divulges it, ever.
What is the point of giving me these if you don't want me to use them?
I want you to use them. The Supreme Intelligence gave me responsibility of showing you how to use them.
I know how.
Yeah, if that were true, you'd better knock me down without them. Control your impulses. Stop using this, start using this. I want you to be the best version of yourself.
Veers.
Intelligence?
Your commander insists that you're fit to serve.
I am.
You struggle with your emotions, with your past which fuels them.
We're gonna find out that it's actually the Kree who are the imposters. The Supreme Intelligence is actually kind of like a false god. The Kree are trying to get Captain Marvel to ignore her heart and follow her mind, which in a way, means that she has been brainwashed. The problem is that when all that we follow is our mind, we become calloused, selfish, dogmatic, isolated, and even overly hostile to any idea that is contrary to what we believe. The mind can lead us astray just as easily as negative emotions can. Christians believe that there is actually a God who is so holy that if his followers saw him face to face, that they would die. And the mission of that God is not to get us to fight against our heart. He actually promised to change our heart so that we can have the desires of our heart. I'll say that again. God will change your heart so that you can have the desires of your heart. When the world thinks about the heart, they think about emotions. But it's much more than that. It's much more than just emotions. When your heart is motivated by love, your heart becomes something much greater than emotion. In fact, when the heart is acting as it should, it will do anything for the people that it loves, even emotionally painful things, in order to sacrifice for others. True love is not only emotional, it's sacrificial. Too often we connect our heart simply to our emotions, but our heart is much more than our emotions. And actually, it's the other way around. Our emotions come out of our heart. So if our heart is evil, our emotions will be evil. If our heart is centered on love, our emotions are healthy. They're generous and sacrificial. Because true love is much more than emotion. True love is a choice. But if your heart leads you to bad emotions, you can't just ignore your heart. If you try to ignore your heart and become a callous, skeptical person, you'll be going through life with one arm tied behind your back. You need your heart to become who you were created to be. But you need a changed heart for that to happen. Don't ignore your heart. Let God change your heart. So when we give our heart to God, our emotions can actually be good when they are properly understood and controlled. For example, when Jesus saw that the Jewish religious leaders were using the Jewish temple for personal gain and that they were keeping people that they didn't like from worshiping God, Jesus became angry. That anger was an emotion, but it was a righteous emotion. When Jesus cried after his friend Lazarus died, that was an emotion, but it was a loving emotion. Jesus had emotions, so emotions in and of themselves aren't bad. Earlier, we talked about what would happen if a human actually saw God. Well, there was a few people in Scripture who actually had physical encounters with God and survived. One of those people is Moses, the famous rescuer of the nation of Israel. When Moses, a Hebrew, was the prince of Egypt, Egypt had enslaved the Hebrew people. They're also known as the Israelites. The book of Exodus tells us that one day, Moses went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure that no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. It was Moses' emotions that caused him to defend the Hebrew slave, and it was that action that would eventually cause Moses to leave the nation that he ruled over, Egypt, and become the rescuer of the people that were truly his people, the Hebrew people. Then, when Moses left Egypt, he had an unprecedented encounter with God, and that encounter changed him. After that, he took the brave step of confronting the king of Egypt. He famously told the king to let my people go. In other words, the Egyptian king also had an encounter with God. But his response was very different than Moses's. After his encounter with God, the king of Egypt rejected God because the king's heart was hard. Eventually, God did a bunch of miracles, Avenger style, to force the king of Egypt to let the Hebrew people go free. Moses led the Hebrew people out of slavery. You see, he was raised by the Egyptians, but eventually he realized that he wasn't actually an Egyptian at all. He was a Hebrew. And then when he realized that the people who raised him weren't his people, he turned his back on the people who trained him to rescue his true people. Captain Marvel had the same realization. She realized that she wasn't a Kree at all. The people who trained her weren't her people. They were imposters. Like Moses, Captain Marvel turned her back on the people who raised her to rescue her true people. What you're about to watch is the moment that Captain Marvel heard a recording from her past, the past that had been wiped from her memory by the Kree. This is the moment that she realized who she truly was.
What's happening?
It's loading.
Punch in the coordinates 5229 -47 8.768 0.2.
Copy that. Where are we going, Doc?
My laboratory.
Your laboratory? What do you mean?
Oh no. Is that? Wait, what is that? It's not showing up on my radar.
Go, Carol, fly!
Those are the bad guys. Fly faster now.
Yes, ma'am.
What do they want?
Me. My work. I never should have brought you along.
Here comes some G's. They're firing backwards. Hold on.
Your blood. It's blue.
Yeah, but how's my hair? Help me out, will you?
I gotta destroy it before they get here.
What, Lawson?
You remember what I said about our work here? What it's for?
To end wars?
Yeah, but the wars are bigger than you know. My name is not Lawson. My real name is Marvell. And I come from a planet called Hala.
I would say that you're delusional, but we just got shot down by a spaceship and your blood is blue.
Listen, I spent half my life fighting a shameful war. Now skedaddle before you give me any more regrets. Just remember the coordinates, okay? You gotta save them without me.
Save who? How?
Now, I gotta blow this engine before they find
it. What are you doing?
We have no interest in hurting you.
No? Because all the shooting kind of gave me the wrong impression.
The energy core. Where is it?
Pararescue's on the way. You have 2 minutes until you're surrounded.
And I see no reason to prolong this conversation.
No, wait! You mean that energy core? Destroyed.
She absorbed its power. She's coming with us.
In the movie, when Captain Marvel came in contact with the energy core, it changed her. The energy core made her into the person that she was supposed to be. After Moses realized that his life mission was not to be the next king of Egypt, but to be the rescuer of the Hebrew people, he led the Hebrew people out of Egypt. The problem is that after the people were set free, they didn't know what to do. They didn't have a government, they didn't have customs, or even a currency. So God again appeared to Moses, and after that encounter with God, it didn't only change Moses physically, it also made him brilliant. After Moses' encounter with God, God helped him to write down an unbelievably revolutionary list of laws, governing structures, customs, and social guidelines. The world had never seen anything like it before. The guidelines that Moses wrote down helped the Hebrew people become the strongest, most healthy people in the world. So Moses' encounter with God changed him, and it changed the world. Captain Marvel's encounter with the Energy Core did something very similar. It didn't just change her, it changed the world because of how she was able to use her power. But when Captain Marvel had an encounter with the Supreme Intelligence, the false god, it actually left her more confused. It left her with one arm tied behind her back. That's not what happens when we have an encounter with God. The false god actually misled her, but an encounter with God will change you. It will make you a new person, a better person. An encounter with God will give you a new life.
Thanks to you, those insidious shapeshifters will threaten our borders no more.
I used to believe your lies, but the Skrulls are just fighting for a home. You're talking about destroying them because they won't submit to your rule, and neither will I.
We found you. We embraced you as our own.
You stole me. From my home, my family, my friends.
Without us, you're only human.
You're right. I'm only human.
Thank you.
are reborn.
He's trying to break out.
Fighting with one arm tied behind my back. But what happens when I'm finally set free?
Down a covenant that was revolutionary, it wasn't Moses' brilliance that caused God to choose him to rescue the Hebrew people. It was Moses' heart that led God to choose him. And what was the driver of his heart? It was his faith. Hebrews 11:24 tells us that it was by faith that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses' brilliance, or his correct understanding of who God was, his theology, that is not what made Moses special. God chose Moses because of his heart, and then God made him brilliant after that. Moses' heart led him to sacrifice his comfortable life and give up his Egyptian power to save the Hebrew people. Without faith in God, it's like we're living our lives with one arm tied behind our back. Although I believe that God is knowable, that his truths are absolutely provable, that his existence to me is obvious, that we can know him, there will be times when we need more than just belief that God exists, that just knowledge of him. When we are faced with pain, with loss, with doubt, and with anger, faith in God will have to be more than just a mental decision. When we are hurting, our faith must be a matter of the heart. Believing God exists is only the first step in trusting him. When you are faced with the decision to trust him or reject him, your response will reveal what is in your heart. You will eventually encounter God. It may be through the word of a friend or through a family member. It may be when you have a strange urge to read the Bible. God may even speak to you himself in a burning bush, or he may speak to you through a pastor. How will you respond when that happens? Will you open your heart to him and let him make you new? Will you allow him to begin the slow process of turning you into the person that you were created to be? For some of you, that moment is now. Please don't allow your heart to be hardened. Put your faith in him and ask him to make you a new person. I believe that God is demonstrably real, but it takes faith to trust that real God, especially when your brain is telling you to stay loyal to the life that is familiar to you, or even worse, when your brain is telling you to stay loyal to yourself. Allow your heart and even your emotions to surrender to God. I promise he will make your life better, and he will make you better at life.
You've come a long way since I found you that day by the lake. But can you keep your emotions in check long enough to take me on? Or will they get the better of you as always? I always told you, you'll be ready the day you can knock me down as yourself. This is that moment. This is that moment, Beers. Turn off the light show and prove to me you can beat me for that.
I have nothing to prove to you.
People like Avengers movies because they're just over and over telling stories of people who are stepping into their calling, who are realizing who they were created to be and becoming those people. And when they become who they were created to be, they begin to sacrifice themselves for the good of others. My favorite, okay, the greatest superhero movie of all times is Iron Man 1. We can argue about it later if you would like. Thank you, yeah. Iron Man 1 is the story of a guy who is a rich billionaire, have whatever you want type of thing, and he gets stuck in a cave, and he's got to build a suit of armor to get himself out. So he ends up fighting off an army and to get himself out. But then there's this great moment, just like you saw the moment of when she knocks over the guy that mentored her, and you get this feeling. It's the end of Iron Man 1 when he says, "I am Iron Man," and you're like, stepping into your purpose and all this stuff. And you don't know that's why it made you excited, but that's why it made you excited. And so his first suit that he builds is to protect himself, to save himself, to get back to the life that he thought he wants. And all of the stories of Avengers are this progression of Tony Stark, Iron Man, becoming somebody who was sacrificial. He became who he was meant to be, Iron Man, but then by the end of the movie, the first suit he builds is to protect himself, the last suit he built. Sorry, I'm going to ruin it for you if you haven't seen the last Avengers movie. The last suit he built was to sacrifice his life for the world. And this is the process that happens in our lives. We step into the calling that God created us to, and then the Holy Spirit comes into our life and starts to mold us, starts to change us, gives us a new heart, until eventually we're not in all of this for what we can get out of it. Eventually we're in it for how we can sacrifice for those around us. So I'm going to leave the comfortable, easy life, the life that I know, the life that everybody else leaves, and I'm going to live a harder life. Because I recognize, as I become who I'm created to be, I recognize that what God has actually called me to is sacrifice for the people around me. This is what we're all called to. So let me say to those of you who are kind of new to this idea of I'm not just a random collection of cells and I was created accidentally. Let me tell you that you were created by God for a purpose, and in order to step into that purpose, in order for you to become who you were created to be, God had to send his son to the earth to die on a cross so that your sins could be forgiven, so that the Holy Spirit could enter into you, the Holy Spirit could live with you and begin to form you. It's a slow process, but he could begin to teach you and begin to mold you into the person that he created you to be. But before you can become that person, you have to accept his free gift of grace. He says, "I want to adopt you into my family. Will you let me adopt you into my family?" And then he says, all you got to do is take that step and say, "Yes, let me become the Lord of your life." Because it's going to take a painful process for you to become who you created to be. But if you'll just say yes to me, I'll start doing it. You can't do it on your own. But if you'll let me, I'll start to mold you. I'll start to purify you. I'll start to create, to make you the person that I created you to be. If you're in the room and you have not made him the Lord of your life, if you have not allowed him to begin that process in your life, can I say now? There is no better time to start than now. Because we can get to the mental realization that God exists. That's step one. But then you have to do more than just realize he exists. Then you have to surrender to him. Then you have to put your faith in him. Then you have to start trusting him. Will you start trusting God? If you're in this room and you're ready to take that step, would you please let us know? You were handed a response card when you came in. If you could check the box, "I want to make a decision to follow Christ. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life." Will you let us know? Because this week we want to pray for you and we want to send you something in the mail that tells you kind of the next steps that you can take. Because we don't do altar calls or anything like that, because we don't think salvation is a one-time decision. Boom, now I'm in the holy, get out of hell free club. But we think that salvation is a journey. And so if you'll let us know that you're beginning that journey today, we want to help you. We want to walk with that through that process with you. God, today I thank you for those people in this room who your Holy Spirit is beginning to speak to. And I pray that right now you will give them a new heart, that you will make them new, that you will give them a new life that is beyond what the world promises and actually fulfills. Help us to become who we were created to be. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.